You know, we're talking about how to hear God's voice, hearing from God. You know, my wife doesn't read my message notes before I preach. But I was going to preach on Elijah sending out his faith servant and saying, go again. So if you're one of those people who really felt that you need to go again, or you want to give up, that's a word from God. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I mean, it's not my whole message, but it's part of my message. So I'm going to launch into that right now. One of the ways God wants to speak to us is in the realm of general vision. And he wants to awaken our ability to dream and have hope for things in life. God wants to breathe. This is a word from God this morning. God wants to breathe hope back into your life. Because without hope, you have no basis for faith. And without faith, you have nothing. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. It's not automatic. It just doesn't fall off the Christmas tree. Why are some people incredibly blessed and other people just struggle year after year after year? Because God is not the one up there deciding what kind of a life you're going to have. He's not up there deciding who's going to be rich and who's going to be poor. He's not the one who decides what kind of a car you're going to drive. He doesn't care what kind of a car you drive. You're the one driving it. He's not the one deciding whether you're going to be rich or poor, sick or healthy, successful or a failure. He wants everybody blessed. Those of you who have children know that a loving father wants all his kids equally blessed. It's one of the greatest heartaches of a parent is to see their child suffer or not do well. So I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to breathe hope back into your life, because without hope, you have no basis for your faith. And without faith, you have nothing. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. What does that mean in practical terms? It simply means God wants you to believe that he loves you and that he has an incredible plan for you. Plan to prosper you. Plan to do you good. You're not an accident looking for somewhere to happen. God has designed you for purpose. And he's given you certain skills. And he's put you in this church to equip you that you might be a success. You are a success looking for somewhere to happen. And Jesus said, I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll make a way in the desert. And I'll go behind you to clean up your messes. Because he knows even if the path is straight, we're going to make the straight path crooked. And he's going to have to sort it out for us. What a great God. I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I'll move mountains. I'll make it possible for you. But because you're not perfect, you are perfectly imperfect. You're going to make a mess of it. And my perfect plan for your life has accommodated that. And I'm going to go behind you as well. Now, don't look behind you. But every one of us who does knows we wish there wasn't a behind me. He said to Paul, Paul said, sorry, there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which lie behind me. You know, I felt like giving up this week because I looked behind me. And I thought, God, why did you call me to be a pastor? Yeah, there must be somebody better, surely. Look at the mistakes I've made. God didn't tell me I was his last choice, but basically what he told me was, you're all I've got, Ray. You're all I've got. I wish I had more. But everybody makes mistakes. And if we look behind us, we are not going to finish our race. What's left of it? So stop looking behind. God's got you behind. He's in control. Someone say amen. Amen. God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes from where you are and all that you can see I will give you. Now, I preached this a couple of months ago, but listen to me. He said, and he's saying to you this morning, lift up your eyes, hope. Lift up your eyes from where you are, not from where you should be. Because that's what we do. We say, oh, if only I hadn't done this. Oh, if only, then I would have hope. Oh, if only I hadn't made that mistake. Oh, if only, oh, if, then I had. No. Don't lift up your eyes from where you should be. Lift up your eyes from where you are, people. There's hope from where you are. And all you can still see, I can still give you. I said, all you can still see, I can still give you. Because I'm God. And it's not up to you. It's up to me and your faith in me. Can you still see me doing it? Can you still see me creating miracles? Can you still see me moving mountains on your behalf? Can you still see me making crooked paths straight? If you can see it, you can still have it. But you see, we lose hope. And we stop seeing the things we once dreamed. Oh, there's a thief out there. He's the dream stealer. Dreamer, I'm the giver of your dream. God says he wants to give you the desires of your heart. He puts a dream in your heart, and then he says, delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the dream of your heart. Sometimes it's hard, I know. Sometimes it's hard. When we don't see the things we long to see. That's why every once in a while, God has to give us the go again message. And God said to Elijah, it's not going to rain until you say so. Now listen very carefully. Because what you say has a very important part to play in what you see. It's not going to rain until you say so. And it didn't rain for 7 years. Wow. And then Elijah said, all right, it's time for rain. But there was no rain. And what we do is we look at the evidence, we look at the circumstances, and we say, oh, well, I guess it isn't time for rain. And we cancel the assignment that God has sent, that we initiated with our words when we said, it's time for rain. And we look, and there is no rain, and we say, oh, well, there is no rain. Elijah didn't do that. He said, there is rain. And he sent his faith servant. He sent a servant out to the top of the hill and said, look and see if there's any clouds. Look to see if the rain is coming. And a servant went and came back and said, I see nothing. Like Schultz. Any Hogan's Heroes here? Hogan's Heroes fans? I see nothing. I know nothing. Schultz went to the mountaintop and came back with nothing. No, we don't want some dumb German sergeant in the army coming back with a false report. And we don't want a clink running the show. We've got God. We've got God in charge of our faith. He gave us his own faith. He says, to every man is given the measure of faith. What measure? The measure you need to complete your assignment. God would not ask you to do something and not send you out with faith to get the job done. You've got it. The devil might tell you you don't. He's lying to you. You have what you need to get the job done. Sorry for shouting. Turn me down. Every man has been given the measure you need to get the job done. You've got it. It's in your spirit. You mightn't recognize it, but it's there. The Bible says he has given to every. Put your hand up and say, I'm an every. I'm one of the everys that God has given a measure of faith to. So Elijah says, no. See, I tell the kids at school, every time you hear a big no out there and you'll bump into heaps of them, you've got to hear a big yes on the inside. That's your key to success. Every time you meet a no, hear a big yes on the inside. I like you. So Elijah didn't have a grid for that. Do you have a grid for failure? Or do you only have a grid for success? Do you believe all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen, or only some of them, or all of them are true, but only some of them are true for you? Are you picking and choosing which words God has sent to the earth to fulfill? He said, none of my words shall return to me void. That is, unless you say, that one is not for me. So you see, what you say is very important, because you can cancel the assignment from heaven for your very own blessing. So how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You have to be in agreement with the blessing assignment, or it won't happen to you. There are a lot of people fighting tooth and nail to be sick, broken, poor. I will defend my rights to be a Christian who's broke. Well, help yourself. But you will not be helping anybody else. How selfish is that? My favorite subject. Money. Jesus talked about it more than anything else in the Bible. It offends more people than just about any other subject, because it's been mishandled. But God wants you blessed. And what you say determines whether it comes to you or not. So Elijah sends his servant out, his faith servant. Did you know your faith is your servant? Your faith is your servant, and it's supposed to be working for you. When is the last time you put your servant out to work? Or is he just sitting at home on the sofa watching telly? Get that lazy thing off his behind and get him out there to do something. He was given to you to get the job done. So Elijah sends his faith servant out, and he says, I said there will be rain. I said there will be prosperity. I said I will have a new job. I said I will have a pay rise. I said I will have a child this time next year. I said I will have .. I said. Who said? I said. So a servant goes and comes back and says, nothing. I did not see a cloud. I did not see anything. I'm sorry, Elijah. And here's the thing. Your faith will come back heaps of times and tell you, nothing, I'm sorry. I know your hope is in the Word. I know you put your hope in a promise from God. And I know God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man, that he should change his mind. So I know this should be working, and I can't explain why it isn't, but there is nothing. Now Elijah could have said, oh, well, okay. And that's what we do, because our experience is less than the declared word of God. We rationalize it, and we create our doctrines between what God said and what we're experiencing, and we come up with our own ideas, instead of holding fast to the word. So Elijah says, no, I never said nothing. I said rain, go again. And many of you are believing for something and you don't see the evidence of it yet. But hold fast to your faith and hold fast to the word of faith and continue to confess the promise that God has given you, because the rain is coming. You need a go again spirit. And he had to go seven times. How many times do I have to go again? As many times, because seven is not a number especially, it's just the perfect number. And the perfect number for you is the number of times you need to go again until the job is done. And God is there to sustain you in your faith. And the proving of your faith is worth more than silver and gold. You know, when you prove God, when you prove a word that he's spoken to your heart, no man can take that from you. Paul and Silas said, "Such as I have, give I thee." You know, if a cripple walked past me, I don't think I could say, "Such as I have, give I thee." Because I have yet to develop that aspect of my faith. I have yet to build that in my life. But if you don't have a job, I can say, "Such as I have, give I thee." I have faith for that. I have built that in my life. Such as I have, when someone comes to you and you say, "Such as I have," what do you have? This is our challenge, to be in the world as Christ is in the world, representing him. We are a body, so corporately, you know, we get a lot done. We get a lot more than just one of us could get done, because as a body, we have so much. We have so many gifts. But I want to encourage you to go out again. Send your faith servant out one more time. And though you see a small cloud the size of a man's hand, it doesn't have to be much. How big is your hand? How much faith have you got? What have you got in your hand? What have you laid hold of? It doesn't have to be much. Because the faith servant went out and said, "Oh, I just see a small cloud the size of a man's hand. I just see the little bit of faith that you've got. That grain of mustard seed is all I need." If you've just got a grain of faith left in you, have you got just a grain of faith left in you? Have you got just mustard seed down there somewhere? Have a look. Have a look down there. God has given to every man a measure. It might only be a mustard seed measure, but it's enough to get the job done if you won't let it go. Don't let it go. The devil wants your faith. He wants your confession, because he wants the promise. He wants the word. As soon as the sower went out to sow, the Bible says, the birds of the air came. Satan doesn't really care about you so much as an individual. Well, he does. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. But he's not really concerned about you per se. He's concerned about your destiny and the mission that you carry. He cares about the word that God spoke in your life. He cares about the word that you carry and your business in fulfilling that particular mission in life. That's what he's after. He's after the word. So don't give it to him. Go again. Can someone say, "Go again"?
Go again.
You just go again. You know, I'm so thankful for my dear old mother. If there's one thing she gave me, was the never give up attitude. Never give up. You know, our parents, we should be thankful for them. They all gave us something that we needed, you know. And she wasn't a perfect mother, but I tell you what, I've often said to my wife, "I don't care who shows up this morning. If it's you and me, we'll preach to Jesus." I guess that's why I'm still here. Remember Cole Stringer saying, "Ray, you want to build a great church, just don't give up. Stay in the saddle, because pastors are dropping like flies." This is not time for a pity party or poor Ray, but the truth is, I could have given up heaps of times. I never did. You know why? Because for the joy set before me, I see your lives changing. I see you getting a hold of hope. I see you getting a hold of faith. I see you walking in victory. I see you stomping all over the devil and putting them under your feet. Amen. And not taking no for an answer. Amen. I see you getting up one more time than you got knocked down. Amen. I see you getting one more job than you got fired from. I see you going on. I see you pushing through. Paul said, "You are my joy." Ah! What can the devil do? Give someone a nudge and say, "Ah! What can the devil do?" It ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Father, I want to thank you for my incredible wife who had a sneak peek of my sermon notes. Don't you love my Woody Woodpecker laugh? That is something God gave me. So embarrassing. As it manifest presence, son, somebody there who I hadn't seen for quite a while came along and said, "Oh, Ray's here." And I said, I didn't know who it was, but obviously they heard me laugh. Somebody said to me, "Oh, it was the guy who ordained us in ministry and Joy Christian Fellowship years ago in California." And you know, when they ordain you, people usually prophesy over you and they send you out, right, with this big word, da 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 da. It was a very prophetic church. Only one person prophesied over us in the whole church. I thought that was, you know, pretty poor, actually. And all he said to me was, "Ray, don't forget to laugh." Yeah. That was it. That was my ordination prophecy. That was the big word. And Paul says that we are to wage warfare with the prophecies given us. If you've been given a prophecy, you need to pull it out and speak it, go over it and wage warfare with it. I'll tell you what, if ever there was a prophecy I needed to wage warfare with, it was that one. The devil said, "What? The devil said, what? The devil said, what? Come on, yes. This is good for you. The yes. Devil said, what? Come on, this is your altar call. The devil said, what? Some of you haven't got it yet. I'm going to keep going until you get it. The devil said, what? You won't forget this message, will you? This is the go again message. Come on. Come on. Put your arm around someone. Give them a big hug. Tell them you love them. They're going to be all right. All right. We're done, I think, aren't we?